Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon this Easter weekend. We are so glad that you're with us to celebrate Easter weekend together, the resurrection, the rising from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, as Christians, we should be celebrating the resurrection every day of every week, of every month, of every year of our Christian life. But it's great that we can set aside this one weekend a year for our very special celebration of the Lord's resurrection. So, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to take our break from our study in the Gospel of John. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, that we don't follow a dead Savior. We follow a living Savior. And Lord, use this fact to encourage our hearts and teach us about the afterlife today. And we pray this in power, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Amen and amen. Now, we are going to talk today about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is one of the two linchpins of our Christian faith. The first linchpin is the inerrancy of the Scripture, and the second linchpin is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see, as we begin today, how central the resurrection was to the preaching of the apostles in the early church. Every sermon, no matter what else it had in it, it was centered around the resurrection. Let me show you that. Ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, you, the end of verse 23, have crucified him and put him to death, whom God raised up, for it was not possible that he should be held by the pains of death. And then, if you look over in verse 32, once again, Peter repeats, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. How about in chapter 3? Peter says, verse 15, that you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Verse 26, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and to, as he goes on to say, to turn you from your sins. How about chapter 4? Peter again preaching. Verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you, healed, whole. You know, this was the healing in John chapter 3 of the man at the beautiful gate. Acts chapter 5, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed, by hanging him on a tree. And he did this to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, verse 31. In chapter 10, when Peter goes to see Cornelius, the Roman centurion, he says to him in verse 40, him, meaning Jesus, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. And now we go to Paul in Acts chapter 13 on his first missionary journey. Look at the sermon he preached in chapter 13, verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And then verse 34, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus. And then he quotes Psalm 16, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. How about Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching to the philosophers up on Mars Hill? It says in verse 31, that God has given assurance of this to all men, in that he has raised him up from the dead. Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some sneered, made fun of Paul. And we could keep going, but I think the point's clear. Whether it was Peter or Paul or whoever it was, the resurrection was the central theme of every sermon that they preached here in the book of Acts. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 5, that it's the center of a new race of people, those who were in Adam, but now who are in Christ, and on and on. So, is the resurrection optional? No. Now, last year, I did a message called The Compelling Evidence for the Resurrection. And in that sermon, I gave you four compelling pieces of evidence so that the four of them together form such a preponderance of evidence that the resurrection really happened, that even Judge Judy would decide in my favor. Now, I'm not going to repeat that this year, but you go back and listen to that sermon if you have any doubts that the resurrection really happened. Of course it happened. And I'll give you all the proofs for it in last year's message. Today, we're going to operate under the assumption that the resurrection is true. And it's not an assumption. It's a fact. We're going to operate under the fact that the resurrection is true. And what does that mean for us? Well, the fact that the resurrection is true means, first of all, that we're going to heaven just like the Lord Jesus promised us. In John 6, verse 47, Jesus said, he who believes in me has eternal life. And he says in John's gospel, because I live, you shall live also, talking about his rising from the dead, and on and on and on. John 5, 24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall never come into condemnation, but that person has passed from death to eternal life. Folks, follow a dead Savior and you'll end up just like him. Confucius is dead. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. L. Ron Hubbard is dead. Mary Baker Eddy is dead. Every rabbi who's ever lived is dead. They're all dead. But the Lord Jesus is not dead. He's alive forevermore. Follow a living Savior, and we'll end up just like him, alive forevermore with the living God in heaven. Praise the Lord. That's the hugest so what of the resurrection. But there's one more, another piece about the afterlife Jesus tells us about. And because the resurrection is true, because the resurrection is factual, it means everything that Jesus tells us about the afterlife is true, that it's accurate, and that it's factual. You got me? And that's the one I want to share with you right now. But just before I do, we have our most important question to ask. So are you ready? This is our Easter so what. So maybe let's tone it down just a little bit and make it just a little more of a quiet a so what. So are you ready? Come on. One, two, three, so what? Right. So what? Lon, what's the takeaway from this? What else about the afterlife, other than we who believe in Jesus are going to live, have eternal life and live forever with him? What else does Jesus tell us that he wants us to understand that his resurrection proves is true and factual? Well, I want to share that with you, but just before I do, I want to thank the Lord for giving me the chance to preach another Easter message in 2023. And like Jackie Gleason says, I want to say to you, Lord, with all of my heart, how sweet it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, and he's allowed you to get to another Easter also. How sweet it is. Yes. Now, what is it about the afterlife also that Jesus says that we need to take serious thought of? Because it's true. Everything Jesus says about the afterlife is factual and accurate. So what is it else that he says? Well, let me show you. Let's begin in Luke's gospel. Okay, Luke chapter 12, verse 2. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Wow, is this terrifying? That everything people think they've gotten away with, everything people think that they've pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, including God's, everything that people have secretly plotted and schemed, as well as the things that they've said and thought, their motives, everything is going to be revealed. When is it going to be revealed? Well, friends, it's going to be revealed at the great white throne judgment. Look at this. Revelation chapter 20. Look with me. The great white throne judgment. Verse 11, Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, everything, thoughts, deeds, schemes, everything, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life, which is there present at the great white throne judgment, was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, no believer in Jesus appears at the great white throne judgment. This is for unbelievers whom hell gives them up, and the sea and death, and they stand before God and they're judged from the books of their deeds and their thoughts and their schemes. Why? Because there are levels, Luke chapter 12, there are levels of the lake of fire. And not everybody's going to be on the same bottom level as Hitler. But to be in the lake of fire is going to be horrible no matter where you are. But it's going to be more horrible the lower you are. And this is what this judgment is all about, to see where you're going in the lake of fire if you don't know Christ. You say, well, why is the book of life there? Well, people whose names are written in the book of life are not at this judgment. You say, well, then why is the book there? I believe the book's there because there are going to be a lot of people there who are going to argue with God and say, my name has to be in the book of life. I did this for you. I did that for you. I sang in the choir. I taught Sunday school. I put money in the offering plate. I tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I tried to be a nice person, on and on and on. And I believe God's going to say, come on over here. What's your name? Quigley? All right, look under QU and see if you find Joseph Quigley in here. See for yourself. And his name won't be in there if he's at the great white throne. I think that's why the book of life is present there, to be the final satisfaction to these people that, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, depart. I never knew you. You did this, you did that, but we never had a personal relationship. You never made that commitment to me. And this is where everything is coming to light. Now, Let me show you some other places where the Jesus said this very thing. How about Luke 8, verse 17? Jesus said, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." How about Matthew chapter 12, verse 36? Jesus said, "But I say to you," verse 36, "that every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." Wow. Now that's scary. Every word that comes out of our mouth, the most idle, the most horrible, the most slanderous, the most judgmental, we're giving an account for every single one of those. Not we, but the people who are at the great white throne judgment will be. How about Romans chapter 2, verse 16? Paul refers in Romans 2:16 to the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And finally, how about 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Look what Paul says. He says in verse 5 that God, the Lord Jesus, when he comes, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the motives of men's hearts. He will reveal the motives of men's hearts. Even our motives, the motives of people at the great white throne, are going to be judged. Wow, that's terrifying. If you're here and you don't know Christ, if you're listening to me, if there's any doubt in your mind that all of those things that you've done are not under the blood of Jesus and covered by the blood of Jesus, my friends, in just a minute, we're going to pray and give you a chance to make sure that you're there. You see, everything we do before Christ, BC, goes under the blood of Jesus, and it's gone. Psalm 103 says God removes those sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And Micah chapter 7 says that God buries those sins in the depths of the sea. What we did before we came to Christ is under the blood. It will not be shouted from the rooftops. It will not be paraded in the streets for everyone to see. No, no. It's BC. It's before Christ. It's under the blood. It's gone from the holy, judgmental sight of Almighty God. Boy, praise God for that. The stuff I did before I came to Christ was horrible stuff. Horrible. I don't ever want to see those things again before a holy God. Praise the Lord, because I know Christ and I'm trusting his blood to be the covering for my sin. I'm not going to see those BC things again. Praise the Lord. But you who don't know Christ, all that stuff's coming back around. Terrifying thought. And you're going to be held accountable before a holy God for those things. Now, just before we close and I lead us in a prayer to help you, if you don't know Christ, solve this problem, just let me make one last comment. And that is that we as believers, our deeds, words, actions, motives are going to be judged as well in the afterlife, but for a different reason. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our sins are going to be evaluated, not as to whether we go into the lake of fire and what level we're in there. No. That's over at the cross when we trusted Christ. But with regard to the rewards that God hands out to us individually in heaven. Look at this. Now, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Okay, we're talking believers here. Every believer, when you come to Christ, you get a brand new foundation in your life. Everything else goes under the blood, and now we're building afresh, anew, with the foundation of Jesus Christ. All right, you with me? Now watch. "If anyone builds on this foundation," what foundation? Christ. These are believers. "With gold, silver, and precious stones," that's the first category. And the other category is wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, obvious. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. This is a evaluation of everything that we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ after we've come to Christ. So, you know, people criticize Christianity and say, yeah, you come to Christ and then it doesn't matter what you do anymore. No. That's not right. That's not what the Bible says. It does matter when it comes to reward. There's two categories of building on the foundation: gold, silver, precious stone. This is obedience to God and seeking to please God and seeking to do what God asks us to do, and putting God first in our life. And then there's wood, hay, and straw, which is the exact opposite of all of this. Now watch. If anyone's work is going to be tried by fire, verse 14, which he has built on it, on what? On the foundation of Jesus Christ. These are believers. If any of it endures, he will receive a reward. From whom? Well, from God, of course. And silver, gold, and precious stones will survive, having a flamethrower on them. But if anyone's work is burned, wood, hay, straw, he will suffer loss. Loss of what? His salvation? No, absolutely not. Our salvation is not secured by what we do. It's secured by what Jesus did for us on the cross. What will he suffer loss of? Watch, Paul tells us, but he himself will be saved, because that depends on the cross. Yet, so as through fire, by the hair on his chinny chin chin. What will we suffer loss of? Reward. This is why 2 John chapter 8, let me read this to you. Look to yourselves, that we not lose those things we have worked for as believers, but that we receive a full reward. We can lose our rewards by building wood, hay, and straw on the foundation of Jesus Christ. John says, look to yourself to make sure this doesn't happen. Be circumspect. Be serious and zealous about your walk with God. Now watch. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. You can't lose your salvation once you really got it. But you can lose reward, and I can lose reward in heaven. So not only will there be an evaluation of everyone's works, deeds, thoughts, motives, etc., for non-believers, where it's decided what level of the lake of fire they get, but there'll also be an evaluation of us as believers building on the foundation of Christ since we came to Christ as to what level of reward we will receive in heaven. You say, what are these rewards? I don't have the slightest idea, but let me just say, when God's giving out rewards, my friend, you want them, and I do too. So, this is not just a word to the wise in terms of our evaluation and our giving an account of ourselves in the afterlife. It's also a word to us as believers. Okay, and you know what my chemistry teacher, Mrs. Hinton, used to say at Woodrow Wilson High School in Portsmouth, Virginia? She used to always say, a word to the wise is sufficient. A fool needs to be rapped on the head. And you know the interesting thing? She always said it to me. I was the one she said that to 50 times more than anybody else she ever said it to. Yeah, well, But you know what? I'm saying to you and me, a word to the wise is sufficient. If you're a believer, let's be wise and live a circumspect, Christ-centered life to the best of our ability. And if you're not yet a believer, let's be wise and get under the blood of Jesus before it's too late. Now, I'm going to give you a chance right now, if you've never trusted Christ, to do so. To put all of those sinful words and thoughts and motives and secrets and deeds under the blood today. And they're gone forever from the judgment of a holy God. And that's awesome. And you're going to get a new foundation today, the foundation of Jesus Christ, to start building afresh on. How cool is that? A brand new start in the life of Almighty God, in the sight, rather, of Almighty God. Wow. Now, if that's what you want, it's yours by simply turning your life over to Christ and trusting what he did on the cross for you to pay for your sin. Going to give you a chance to do that right now. Let's bow our heads. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to pray a short prayer, one phrase at a time. You just repeat it right after me, either out loud or to yourself, either way. Ready? Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want my sins to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Everything I've said and done and schemed and thought I got away with that was unrighteous and unholy, I want that to go under the blood of Christ today. And to be hidden forever from your holy judgment against me. And so today, I give up everything else I have ever trusted to pay for my sins, to cover them in the sight of your holiness, to exempt them from your judgment. I give up everything I've ever trusted to get me into heaven and give me eternal life. And today, I trust 100% the blood of Jesus shed on the cross to cover my sins, to pay for my sins in the sight of a holy God, and to bring me eternal life in heaven. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me repent of my sins and make a 180-degree turn back to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to our website, LonSolomonMinistries.com. And I want you to go to the sermons pull down on the menu, and I want you to listen to the sermon series, Spiritual Boot Camp. It's exactly what it is. It's boot camp to help you get started in your Christian walk, building on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, gold and silver and precious stones. And you can listen to those messages over 2 and 3 and 4 times. They're foundational truths that we need to know as followers of Christ. Now, if you did not pray that prayer with me, but you thought about it, that's right. You know what I want you to do? Yeah, I want you to go to LonSolomonMinistries.com and listen to Spiritual Boot Camp. And by the time you're finished listening, maybe you will be ready to pray that prayer. Either way, if you're new in the faith or you're not in the faith yet, Spiritual Boot Camp is for you. Okay. Hey, Happy Easter to you. To those of us who know Christ, let us look to ourselves that we not lose our reward. Praise the Lord. Happy Easter. God bless you.